Welcome to Sword Radio. This is your host, Buffy St. John. Today we're going to talk about rejection. Rejection is not something that we like. It is very painful and our emotions get tied up in a bunch while our minds race with self-doubt and self-worth. We question ourselves first, our actions, motives, our purpose. If we are rejected in the spiritual realm, we actually question whether we heard from God or if our belief system is all that. But all that is dependent on the strength of our walk with the Lord, how much we value Him, and of course our beliefs. The word is clear when it states in Luke chapter 6, verse 22, "Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man." We are living in a day where there is increasing opposition to our Christian belief. Jesus Christ is no longer the name of our Savior, but a name that is used to curse, to cause hatred, division, anger, riots, persecutions, and murder. But that's nothing new. The Christian church and followers of Christ have been persecuted, enslaved, and murdered since Jesus showed up on the scene. When you share the gospel of Jesus Christ, you too will be rejected. But for you who have been rejected at work or other arenas where you are not necessarily witnessing, you may ask, what's that all about? If you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will still be rejected because you are not of this world. You don't belong here. You're no longer a citizen of the world, but of heaven. You no longer fit in with the world system. Your allegiance is to God and not Satan. Your actions, your heart, and the very fragrance of your life betrays you. You don't smell like the locals. Your accent is different. There's a price to pay. Each nation defends their beliefs, rights, and constitutions, be it through war, laws, police, whatever is necessary. We as Christians do not war against flesh and blood. Look past the face before you and look at the reality of your enemy, your warfare, that roams around like a roaring lion. That's the enemy. We constantly look at the face in front of us and say, he said, she said, he did this, he did that. Look past that face. There's a soul in that body. There's a soul in that person that inherently needs the Lord. So we have to look past that face to who their enemy is. The true enemy is that who roams around like a roaring lion. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 says, "The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds." It is extremely important to put on the whole armor of God and be ready to not only to defend the faith, but to repel the poison of rejection. Let me tell you a story. Once I was in a checkout line at a store. The cashier was so nice to everyone in the line in front of me, chatting with them and smiling. When it was my turn, I smiled and said, "Hello." And she gave me a look of pure, unadulterated hatred. She slammed my things on the counter, threw them in a bag, and was just plain nasty. For no reason, her mood, countenance, demeanor changed. It was totally inexplicable. I paid the charges and I walked out to my car and I asked God, what was that all about? I distinctly got the impression in my knower, you know, that deep down inside of you. And this is what I heard inside my spirit. The Jesus in you is enmity to the demons in her. Go back in and tell her I love her. She's suicidal and she'll try to kill herself tonight. I went, oh boy, I got to go back in there and face this. Well, I took out my shopping list and I flipped it over and I wrote her a little note. And on the back, I told her that Jesus loved her and if she needed a friend or someone to talk to, I was available and that he knew everything about her. I went back in the store, stood in line, handed her the note and told her, "I know it's not easy working so hard, but God told me to tell you that Jesus loves you and he knows your problems." With that, she burst into tears. Others lined up behind me. I leaned over, gave her a hug, and told her to read the note and contact me. I saw her a few days later, still very much alive, and very eager to talk with me. Go figure. So next time you are rejected for the gospel, or maybe you don't know why, remember this verse. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. "Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit." There will be people that you know you should help. People you know you should train, teach, share your knowledge with, those you should impart wisdom and and those who you should disciple, yet they make it difficult. Maybe they're argumentative. They don't want to listen and say they will and then they don't. They reject what you have to say and finally reject you. The same happened to Paul and Barnabas with the Jewish people of their day. Let's look at Acts chapter 13, verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you rejected it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles." Yes, believe it or not, there is a time to move on. Shake the dust off of your shoes and keep on going. We get into trouble when we internalize rejection, when we take it personally. I used to be devastated when I was rejected by a church after a speaking engagement. One pastor made fun of me as they were introducing me to come up to the platform to speak, and they're the ones who invited me in the first place. But when I prayed about this engagement, God said, "Go." So I went. I was hurt, but at the end, the Holy Spirit poured out in that place, and everyone was on their face before God by the end of the service. Why? Let's look at Psalms 94, verse 14. "For the Lord will not reject His people. He will never forsake His inheritance." God was on my side, yes, but He also loved these people. And He just needed a messenger who was willing to step into the line of fire with the message so that repentance, healing, and restoration would take place. Let's take a look back in time together as Jesus was setting out. What a strange boy he was. At 12 years old, he perplexed some of the greatest leaders and rabbis at the temple. He didn't seem to fit in, and yet he lived in Nazareth, a carpenter's life. When the time came for him to leave the house and go about his father's business, he had other brothers and sisters. What was their reaction? Did they ask him, "Who do you think you are?" Did they revile him? "Where do you think you're going? Think you're too good for us? Do you think you're better than our rabbis, higher than the law of Moses?" We know Mom was pregnant before she married Dad. What exactly did he go through? When you committed your life to Jesus, you were sealed into Him. No matter what anyone says about you or what you may experience, you must remember that. Let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. "For the sake of His great name, the Lord will not reject His people, because the Lord was pleased to make you His own." You are His for all eternity, and He will not let you go. Let's pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, rejection is painful and I hurt. Please make this pain go away. Just take it from me. Give me the strength to endure and go on through to accomplish that which You have called me to do. I ask You to give me wisdom and the right words to say. In the times when I'm not to speak, shut my mouth. Put a hedge of protection around my heart and my emotions, that I would be strong and courageous in times of rejection and stress. Thank You for the Son. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, that's all the time we have. If you've prayed that prayer with me, why don't you drop me an email to buffy@swordradio.com. And please go to www.declaretheword.com for more teachings and helps. If you wish to drop us a line, you can do so P.O. Box 1695, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Well, until next time.